So I said that we started with Genesis chapter 1, which says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and there you have a period, a full stop. And from verse 2, he started to tell us about how the earth was void and formless, covered with darkness and covered with water. And we said that it is not possible for God to create something that has no form. That even a human being, when he wants to make something, he has an idea of what he wants to make, and he has an idea of a shape. You cannot begin to make something that has no shape, no form. That the earth became formless because God, at a point, decided to destroy the earth, and he submerged it and covered it with darkness. And we said the only reason that it was likely was that the beings that had been on the earth before that time, we did not call them men. We just said beings because we don't know what they were really. Must have sinned against God. And God overturned the earth and covered it with water and destroyed the galaxy or the solar system. Because without the solar system, there is no light on earth. Hallelujah. And when you go to Revelation 21, you will see that God will also destroy the earth again and the first heaven, which may be our solar system there. Hallelujah. Eventually. And we said that the period between the end of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, for how long that earth had existed and the beast, we don't know. Nobody knows. It is the ageless or dateless period. Nobody can tell. Maybe it is 1 billion years or 1 million or more than that. Nobody knows. But it must have been a long time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It must have been a long time. But when God said, let there be light, that was the time that God was ready to remake the surface of the earth now for the habitation of man, who would be a new creation. Hallelujah. So from that point onwards, everything that God made were things that will eventually serve for the existence of man. All of the plants, all of the animals, are you with me? All of them were made to serve for the existence of man. And finally, on the sixth day, he made the animals, then he created man. And he stopped after he created man. So you know that man was what he had in mind. Praise the Lord. See, his master plan was, we'll make this one, make this one, make this one. And when we make man, we are at the end of what we are creating. Hallelujah. And we said that when God made the animals, God just said, let the earth bring forth animals of different kinds. And it happened. When he made the aquatic animals, the term created was used for some of them. And I said that there is a difference between what you make and what you create. You can make something which has always existed. At Kojo Automobiles of Nigeria, they are still making cars, but they may not be new creations in terms of design. Are you with me? The automobile industry is still making cars, but the cars may not be things that we have never seen before. A creation, a new creation, is something that nobody had ever made before, which you now make. Hallelujah. So when you see that language in Genesis chapter 1, God made and then God created, it means that the one that it says God created had never existed before. So that also suggests that before the world of Adam, there had been a world, because God is calling back things that had existed before, using the word made rather than the word created. But then, when he came to chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. And we said that image, as used, represented the design that God put into man, the form, the architecture. Hallelujah. The architecture. And after our own likeness. Likeness refers to character content. So, let us make man to look like us and behave like us. Hallelujah. And of course, then God makes them, like he said, give them dominion over all the things and bless them. Be fruitful and multiply and then replenish the earth. And we said that fruitful was not in reference to multiplication in terms of reproduction. Fruitful referred to being fruitful in the riches of the things of the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, so that you are like God as He intended you to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Multiply refers to childbearing. Okay? Multiplication. Replenish the earth. The word replenish, we said, is not used for anything that had not contained something before. Are you with me? If I bring an empty cup here, I cannot say replenish it with something because it wasn't containing anything before. It must have contained something before. If it contained water and I say replenish this for me, you will go and put water again. But if I say replenish with Coke, you will go and put Coke. But it had contained water before. Do you follow my point? Okay. So replenish means fill it again. So when he said replenish the earth, fill the earth again, which suggests the earth must have been filled before. You follow me? So there must have been some beings before that time. Hallelujah. And we said, if you go to Genesis chapter 9, the same events almost just completely happened, except that at the lesser dimension, when God said, I must destroy man from the face of the earth. Huh? What God did again was overturn the earth and cover it with what?
Water.
Water again. He did it again. And when Noah and his family returned, God blessed them again. The same language that he used for Adam. He said again, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Which means again, fill it again. Hallelujah. So from God's word, we can understand God's word. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And then we said in Genesis chapter 2, we were told exactly how God made the man. We were told God molded the man out of the dust of the earth or out of clay. And then God breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life. And we said the word breath as used is the same as the word wind, which is the same as the word spirit. Are you following me? It is the same as the word spirit. So God breathed into him the spirit of life. Are you with me? So man became a living soul. So we said that a living soul is the soul that has associated with it spirit, through which you commune with the Spirit of God. The soul that cannot commune with the Spirit of God is not a living soul. That is a dead soul. And we said that dead souls are all around us. They are on the road there now. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, anybody, a living being who believes in me will never die. Hallelujah. But anyone dead who believes in me will do what? He will live. Hallelujah. What he's saying is that I am the ingredient of life. Anybody believing in me and having in me, in him, the Spirit of God is alive. But anybody living who does not have in him the Spirit of God is dead. Do you follow me? The book of Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talking about sin, how it came into the world. Okay? He said that from Adam until Moses, all men, he said, death reigned over all men. All men were born dead. That's the meaning. You follow my point? But they were born and they were talking, going about. But he says, death reigned over them all. Dead souls. Are you with me? Glory to God. See, they were worshiping God from the flesh or from the soul, not from the spirit. Throughout the old covenant, they worshiped God. They did religion, to make it easy. All they were doing was religion, worshiping God from the level of the soul, not from the level of the spirit, except for a few people who, by God's special dispensation, were given the Holy Spirit. Like if you were anointed a king, the Spirit of God came upon you. You follow me? Or if you were a prophet, the Spirit of God comes upon you. For the masses of people who just worship at the level of the soul. So what gave them was rituals, things of the flesh. You sacrifice this goat, then you take it to the altar, then you dip a finger in the blood, then you sprinkle it. You see religion? That was all religion. Thank God that is abolished now. And you know why? At the well of Jacob, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, the time has come the time has come, which means before that time, the time had not come. Have you? She said, the time has now come when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in what? The Spirit and in truth. So before that time, they worship from the soul, not in spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so, we saw how Adam and Eve, who were given the Spirit of God and dominion, obeyed the serpent and fell. And although God said, in the day that they ate of the fruit, they will surely die, they ate of the fruit, Adam saw Eve eat the fruit, and she didn't drop dead. And she said, it is true, the old man lied. Deep in his heart, so the serpent is telling the truth. The old man lied to us that we would die. He did not understand that death meant that they will no longer be the living soul that God made them to be. They will be dead souls walking about. So he ate too, and he saw that he didn't drop dead. The man lied. But God separated himself from them. They could no longer commune with the Spirit of God, which meant they became dead souls. And as dead souls do, they went about. Like we said, after that was when Adam knew his wife, and they had Cain, and they had Abel. Dead souls carry out worldly activities. They make money. Do you follow my point? They build houses. The problem is they don't have communion with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we said after that, since they lost communion with the Spirit of God, the one they had communion with was the devil. Having communion with the devil doesn't make you a living soul. It only confirms that you are dead. So the devil ruled over them by the spiritual law which says you are the servants of whom you obey. Since they decided to disobey God and obey the serpent, they became servants of the serpent. There was nothing they could do about it. Be fruitful. Now, Adam's mission had to be aborted. In one of the books that I wrote, I said, mission aborted. Because the way that God sent him was not the way that he's now proceeding. God had to withdraw and say, go. When God blessed them, be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful first, then multiply. The reason being that if you are fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God, when you have offspring, you can impart on them the values of the things of the Spirit of God. And you can replenish the earth with God-like people. Since they disobeyed God and the devil took over, now they are having children. And they can only impart on them the values of the kingdom of darkness. They can no longer replenish the earth with God-like people. So it is not surprising that nobody taught Cain how to kill Abel. The devil did the job. And God warned him. Remember? God said, Cain, I did not accept you because you did not do well. Your brother had nothing to do with it. He is not the one who prevented you from being accepted. It was just between you and me. You are thinking of killing your brother who has nothing to do with it. Be careful. The devil is at the door of your heart, knocking. But you still have your will. It is true you have lost communion with God, but you have not lost your will. Do you follow me? Rule over him. Hallelujah. But he still killed his brother. So I mentioned the will. We said God made man with a spirit, right? And we looked at the functions of the spirit. We said in your spirit you have what? Intuition, communion, and conscience. But in your soul, you have what? The intellect, the ability to reason, you express emotions, which are the feelings, desires, senses, and so on and so forth. And inside your soul, in your mind, okay, inside your soul resides your will. That is where you make final decisions, because you reason there. You follow my point? You reason. Reasoning means that information comes to you and you reason. Okay, how do I take this information now? You follow my point, and then you decide. Once you have decided, what you do now is your will. What you have decided, I will do, or I will not do. Praise the Lord. So God said, you still have your will. And if by your will you can disobey God, by your will you can disobey the devil. Do you follow me? You can if you can disobey God, then you can disobey the devil. So when you say you're going to do the wrong thing, it's because you want to do it. It's not because you are unable to refuse, but because you chose to do it. Hallelujah. So once we have seen the components of man, spirit, soul, and body, we now said, let us look at the kingdom concept. Praise the Lord. The kingdom concept. And the first question again is, what is a kingdom? What are the components of a kingdom? Everybody should be able to say the components of a kingdom now without any doubt.
King.
There must be a king, otherwise there is no kingdom. Yes. Who else?
Subjects.
There must be the subject, otherwise the king is king over himself. Who else?
Priest.
There must be a priest. The priesthood is the major difference between the kingdom concept and the republic concept. God never talks republics. God does not know the Federal Republic of Nigeria. You see, he can call it like that because that is what we call ourselves. But remember that you have to look at it from the spirit concept. In the spirit world, what they see over Nigeria is a kingdom. Democracy, republic, these are the philosophies of man. God doesn't use democracy in heaven. Where will he say, so let us run the next election and elect the next God? Do you follow my point? It doesn't come in. It doesn't come in. It's a kingdom. If you are in this kingdom, you do my will, or you get kicked into darkness. Do you follow my point? You don't vote to elect God. Democracy is the government of the people, by the people, for the people. And I ask them, where is God in democracy? He doesn't come in. But in a kingdom, you always recognize a deity, a God. It may not be the living God, but there will be a God. It could be an idol. But there will be a God, and there will be a priest who is supposed to be between that God and the people. When it is an idol, it is the priest who offers sacrifices and communes with the demons. And then he tells the king, a lot of times from his own mind, what the king should be doing. Do you follow my point? Okay. And they will recognize him as priest. In the kingdom of light, the children of God, the priest will commune with God and will tell the king also what God is saying. And the king is expected to just do that. Hallelujah. So let us look at how God brought about the kingdom system into the affairs of his people. Because long before the people of God had kingdoms, kingdoms had existed in the kingdom of darkness. You follow me? In the world of the Gentiles, there had been kingdoms. We mentioned the case at Shechem, Father Jacob with his children, okay? Where Dinah was raped, okay? Dinah was raped, raped or whatever. I think she did it at free will. But it was the prince that slept with her. Hallelujah. Joseph married the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. You follow my point? Okay. He married the daughter of the priest of the Egyptian idol. And so on and so forth. In the Gentile world, they had kings. As a matter of fact, in the days of Samuel, what the people said was, we want a king. We want a king like all the other nations. Have we? Right. So there were kings, but they did not have kings for quite some time. God took them through a process. Hallelujah. When God took them outside of Egypt, in the wilderness, the first thing that God did was to give them a priest. And who was the priest?
Aaron.
Aaron was the first priest, and his children were priests under him. The priest plus the other priests form what we will call the priesthood. Are you with me? Okay. And I mentioned that when Moses was alive, for as long as Moses was alive, the glory of Aaron as priest was covered because of the presence of Moses, who was to Aaron a god. And I said the reason that Moses was a god was because God said, I make you a god. Do you follow me now? When they were going to Egypt, God said, behold, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh, and I have made Aaron your brother, your prophet. So Moses was a god there, and Aaron functioned like his prophet. He would be repeating whatever Moses said. Do you follow me? So where the prophet says, thus says the Lord, Aaron will say, thus says Moses. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Afani. Afani. That is the system. That thing is so interesting. You see, the Afani says that, he says it in Yoruba. Then the boy says, Afani, and he says it in Yoruba. Praise the Lord. So, it came a time when Aaron has to die. While he lived, he always took instructions from Moses. God hardly ever talked to Aaron alone. Even though the priest was the one who should be communing with God and telling the king. Hardly ever. When you read, and the Lord said unto Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, once in a while, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, but never to Aaron alone. But now, Aaron died. And as he was going to die, God said unto Moses, strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son to be priest in his stead. So Eleazar became priest. Then it came a time Moses had to die. And Moses said unto the Lord, let the God of all spirits, please somebody open to it. Numbers 27 from verse 15 to 21.
Moses said to the Lord, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses,
listen carefully.
Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun.
Take Joshua, the son of Nun.
A man in whom is the Spirit.
Yes.
And lay thy hand upon him.
Okay.
And set him before Eleazar.
Set Aaron, who will replace you, before Eleazar. Do you see what is going on? Okay. The priest.
And before all the congregation.
Yes.
And give him a charge.
Give him a charge.
Their sight.
Before them.
And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him.
Now, wait a minute. You are going to put some of your anointing upon Joshua, who will replace you. And the point is this, that where Moses was commissioned a God, and for the same reason was why Moses was the one who stood for the covenant between God and the masses. Like Jesus stood for the covenant between God and us. God had to make him a God. He was not a true God. God just said, okay, I make you a God. But Jesus is God. So our covenant is superior to that one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said, I will give him some of your anointing. So Joshua was not going to be a God. He will be an anointed man. Are you with me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's go on.
That all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar.
He shall stand before Eleazar.
The priest.
The priest.
Who shall ask counsel for him.
Eleazar will be asking God what Joshua, who replaces Moses, must do. Whereas it was Moses giving instructions to Aaron. The thing is now reversed. Are you with me? We are now receiving the correct operational system of the old covenant, where the priest is the one who communes with God. Hallelujah. Let's go on.
Who shall ask counsel for him?
Yes.
After the judgment of Urim.
Yes.
Before the Lord.
Yes.
At his word shall they go out.
Whatever the priest Eleazar says is what they have to do. Whereas whatever Moses said was what Aaron did. Are you with me? Okay, go on.
And at his word they shall come in.
Yes.
Both he and all the children of
Israel. Joshua and the congregation of Israel will have to listen to the priest. Okay.
With him, even all the congregation.
Yes.
And Moses did as the Lord commanded him.
Yes.
And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar.
Yes.
The priest. And before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon.
Praise the Lord. I think we got to where we wanted. Do you see how God reversed the process? Let's put everything in its own place now. The anointed man who is a leader instead of a king now, they still don't have a king, but remember the king is a leader. Joshua led them to war. It was war after war. That was what kings used to do. He actually played the role as if he were a king, but he was not a king. He was a captain. A king is a captain. Hallelujah. So, he will have to stand before Eliezer. I want to go to war. Do I go? No. God says the Lord, don't go. Then he must not go. Interesting that Moses said, let God choose them another captain, another leader, so that his congregation will not be as sheep without a shepherd. While the priest was there, which meant that the priest was not supposed to be the shepherd of the people. The one that is appointed captain over the people will be the shepherd of the people. It means that Joshua will be the one who tells the people, this is what we do. The priest can only tell Joshua the mind of God. But Joshua will tell the people what he wants them to do. The priest was not the shepherd of the people. The priest would not tell the people, this is what God says, so everybody go and get your arms and go to war. It was not his job. If he tells Joshua, God says, do not go to war today. If Joshua tells somebody standing by, sound the trumpet, he must sound the trumpet. Gather the people, he must gather the people. Out to war, they will go to war and lose. Are you with me? Okay. The prophet does his job, but he cannot enforce what he says. He serves as the conscience of a king to direct the activities of the people. Hallelujah. So we now come to the time of Samuel, the prophet. Samuel was old, and Samuel had walked before the Lord all the days of his life. Let me step back a little. Before Samuel was Eli, and Eli stumbled. Are you with me? Eli stumbled, his children stumbled. He stumbled because he could not discipline his children. And when the priest does not have communion with the Spirit of God anymore, like the Bible said, it came a time that God looked and God said, before the lamp of God will die in the temple. Have you? That's what the Bible said. Before the lamp of God will die in the temple, God called Samuel. You follow my point? So the lamp was dying. He said the word of the Lord was very scarce. It means the prophet was not communing with God to say this is what God is saying anymore. And you know what happened? The nation went to war and they lost. That was not all. The ark of the covenant of the Lord was also carried away because something had gone wrong at the level of the priesthood. Hallelujah. But thank God, because Samuel walked before the Lord all the days of his life. He had become an old man, and unfortunately, his own children were corrupt too. How men of God can raise up children that are corrupt? May God help us.
Amen.
So the people said, no, we don't want your children to judge us. They are corrupt. We want a king. We want a king. Samuel said, no, God does not want you to have a king now. God is your king. They said, no, we want a king. We want a king that, like all other nations around us. Then God told Samuel, stop arguing with them. Give them a king and they will see what will happen to them. What we call the permissive will of God. When you have insisted that this is what it must be and God has tried to prevent you, and you say, somebody once told me about a man of God who was talking on television some years ago, and the man of God spoke like a man of faith. And he said, when you ask God for something, don't give up. If God says no, tell him yes. I said, the man of God is ready to die. Fortunately or unfortunately, because God is perfect, I don't want to judge situations. That man of God is dead now. For whatever reason, God knows. But if God tells you no, say, my Father, thy will be done. If you know that God has said no, be careful not to insist. Say, thy will be done. Say, some prayer warriors do that. Have you? The prayer warriors are insisting. You have laid something before God, but you laid it before God without submission. So you pray and fast. You pray and fast. It has to be like this. And it has, say, for goodness sake, you don't know all things. You are asking from your own mind. God has a mind that is superior to your own. God knows all things. Give God a chance to do it differently. And it will only be beautiful. Are you with me? I wish that prayer warriors would say, Lord, I want this. And I believe in you to give me. But Lord, I give you the final say, because you know all things, and I know that you love me. Are you with me? Some years ago, I wanted to buy a vehicle, and I wanted to buy one that could be used by the ministry. a van. Because we do crusades, we do things. And I thought the good thing to do was to buy a vehicle that the ministry could use and I could use. So I was thinking in terms of a nice light ace, you know, and people in the church, like, people who love you sincerely, you follow my point, will express their opinions. There's nothing wrong with expressing an opinion. They didn't want me to buy a van. They wanted me to buy a Mercedes-Benz. It doesn't sound bad. I mean, how many people would not prefer that I drive a Mercedes? Praise the Lord. And I insisted, no, I'm not buying a Mercedes-Benz. It's good for, see me around town. But it cannot serve for the ministry. And people begged me. And I said, no. There are decisions that you make and you know that you are right. And I said, no. I said, when an Igbo man starts a business, when he wants to buy a vehicle, he doesn't first buy a vehicle that he cannot use to help his business. He will buy a pickup. I said, what is wrong with God's work? And somebody said, listen, why don't you buy Mercedes-Benz now and trust God to provide a van? I said, why don't I buy a van now and trust God to provide a Mercedes-Benz? Okay, why must it be one way but not the other way? Glory to God. The only problem I had was with my children, who have to understand. Because when I buy it, they have to like it, you know? And my children are not difficult. Most children are not difficult if we learn to communicate with them. So I called Funto and Shehu, who were at home, and I said, listen, I want us to buy a vehicle that will serve the ministry and we can also use. I think that we should just buy a van. Then they said, okay, Dad, but buy a beautiful one. And I said, okay. Praise the Lord. I said, okay, we'll buy a beautiful one. So I started to look for a beautiful one. You know, they have some of these bonnets that look pretty good. Some lightest, not meant for commercial purpose. I started to look for them. Mrs. Adedira went with me at one time with my wife. We looked, and then I was getting frustrated. Then I laid and I spoke to God. I said, Lord, I don't want to buy a vehicle that I will bring home and my children will be depressed. Show me what I will have to buy. Guide me. I'm talking about letting God help you out. Don't insist. And I slept, and I saw myself out with somebody who were looking for a van to buy. We went from place to place, from place to place. Finally, we came to one van, and we looked at it. And we went to the back of the car, inspecting it, and the vehicle had a dent by the plate license. And the man said to me, oh, don't worry about that dent. We will just pull it out. Then I opened my eyes. Then it came a time to buy, and I went with this man, who is a dealer. And we went looking for one and looking for one, and because lightest is used commercially, they were very few and very expensive. By the time that we were getting tired, when we got to one place, and we saw Mitsubishi L300. This vehicle was so beautiful. I'd never seen one like it. And we went there, and the man told us how much it was. It was a French man who wanted to sell it. And we inspected it, and we went to the back. And by the plate license, it had a dent. And the man who went with me said, oh, don't worry about that dent. We will just pull it out. And I said, praise the Lord. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. The Lord is beautiful. God can surprise you. Allow him to surprise you. While we were pricing the car, another Nigerian came, looked at it, and he just loved that man. And he told the Frenchman, I want to buy it. I'll pay you so much. And the man did like this. The man said, I sell to this man. Give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah. God is good. So I bought the van. My family came from the U.S. They saw, they said, my goodness, we have never seen one like this in the U.S. I pack it by the roadside. People come to me and say, excuse me, Charlie Wu. Now, the man who didn't want Fari, you follow my point. I told God, I don't want to make Fari. I want something that I can use for the ministry. Now, God now made it something that would attract everybody's attention. We went to Isolu, you see. A week after that, we were out on a crusade. You follow my point. It started to work. Isolu, you see, we went for a crusade, and I was driving that night. Mrs. Awolaye and Dr. Awolaye, Olulaye now, that's their hometown, they went with us. And somebody was coming and looked and said, Ori, yeah, Mio. Then Mrs. Awolaye said, that's about the vehicle. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Allow God to surprise you. Walk in God's own plan. The people said, we want a king. God said, give them one, they will see. They will see the kind of king that I will give them. And he wasn't too good. Hallelujah. He said, the reason that God didn't want to give them a king at that time, even though they would have had kings later, because there has been a blessing that kings will come. Moses also said it was because the time was not due. Judah was blessed with the kingdom. Father Jacob said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. A lawgiver will not depart from between his legs until Shiloh comes. And we said, the scepter is the symbol of the power of a king, never a prophet. Hallelujah. So he had said, Judah will produce kings. And will never depart from Judah meant that Judah will establish a dynasty. Dynasty means that when you die, your son becomes king. Hallelujah. The kingdom belongs to your family. Family property. Hallelujah. After you, it's your son. After him, his son. That is a dynasty. But we said that the reason that the time was not due was because the king was to come from the lineage of Perez, who was born in adultery. Are you with me? And by God's law, a bastard shall not congregate with the people of God until the 10th generation. So if you count from Perez until David is the 10th generation. That is the time that the curse had been removed and Judah can now become king. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Saul was to be king for a little period because they demanded him by force. No matter how good he could have been, he would never have established a dynasty. It will be so brief. Hallelujah. Until Shiloh comes means that Judah will continue to produce kings until Christ will come, who is the final eternal owner of the kingdom. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're talking about entering the kingdom. Yes, ma'am.
Like Moses, is it because he didn't obey God and they took the leadership and give it to Joshua? You know, they didn't allow Moses to get to the promised
land. Yes.
But is it because he offended God? That's why they take the leadership and give it to
That was what God said. That was what God said. She said, God did not allow Moses to enter the land of promise. She said, was it because he offended? And I said, that was what God said. He offended. But the question, why did he offend? You see, just like Saul, who will never establish a dynasty, and God had to terminate the house of Benjamin from rulership, Saul had to do something bad. So God would say, okay, because of this, okay, you cannot continue. Moses had to do that for a reason. Moses was the lawgiver. Moses was the one who consummated the covenant between God and the masses. Moses must not cross the Jordan into the land of promise, because by God's law, whoever makes the covenant must die before the covenant takes effect. Jesus could not enter with us into the new covenant. Jesus must die before the new covenant is concluded and we pick it up and continue to run it. You follow me? If a man makes a will, the way the Bible explains it, if a man makes a will, it is when he dies that the lawyer will open the will and read it to the people. So you get one house, you get one car, you get nothing. Do you follow me? So Moses must die. He must not enter the land of promise where the covenant was to take full effect. Okay. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I think we should stop there today, take our questions and comments, and then we'll pick it up again next week. Glory to God. Any questions now? Any questions? Any comments? No questions, no comments. If there are no questions and no comments, shall we all begin to pray? Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Let us give glory to God. The Lord is good. The Lord is so good. Let us thank Him for revealing so much to us in His Word. And I want everybody to say to the Lord, Father, give me all grace to enter the kingdom. Give me all grace to enter the kingdom. I want to live in the kingdom eternally. By your grace, I will not miss the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there somebody here who has not given his life or her life to the Lord Jesus Christ? And you want to do that today? Will you raise up your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you before I take my seat. Anybody? Anybody? In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.